It is a WREL weather alert day, a level 1 and 2 risk. We do have some showers just back to our west. I'll show you what time the storms could pop up here.
Plus, hundreds of commuters were caught up in this stressful moment this morning. Commutes, we are searching for answers from the DOT.
Also, it could be a first for women's health, the 2-day meeting that could give women more freedom to decide when they get pregnant.
Today's a WREL weather alert day. Storms are likely to develop this afternoon. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center to show us when you could see thunderstorms where you are today, Elizabeth.
We have that level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms across the entire viewing area. Most likely we'll see mid-afternoon into the evening, and damaging winds and maybe even some large hail would be the biggest threats. Let's take a look at what's happening right now. It's this cold front here that will help us to see some of those thunderstorms developing later this afternoon. We've seen that popping up across the mountains, but we did have a pretty big cluster of storms that had developed here across Kentucky as it moved into the mountains early this morning. It began to weaken a little bit. Some of that rain dissipated as it was moving toward our area, and we're not likely to see any of that. So what we're waiting on is some of our daytime heating. Lots of sunshine out there. That daytime heating should interact with the little bit of moisture that we have here, along with the lift that we get from the front, and we'll see some scattered storms. Here's a look at what's likely to happen at 2 o'clock. We're still not looking at much in terms of showers and storms. Around 4 o'clock, it's still fairly dry, but we get into 6 and 7 o'clock and we start to see a few isolated storms popping up, and it could be that we're seeing that continuing as late as 9 or 10 o'clock. You can see Futurecast keeps some of that in the area pretty late this evening, but it's isolated at best. Not everybody's going to see these storms. One or two of these could produce some wind damage that could knock down a tree. It's going to be a warm afternoon, temperatures in the upper 80s. We drop into the 60s this evening, and we're looking at a nice, dry, cool day for tomorrow.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, Governor Cooper is in Mecklenburg County this noon hour. I want to give you this live look at a roundtable discussion that's about to get underway. There you see Governor Cooper greeting a couple of doctors in the room. He's in Mecklenburg County to talk about an abortion bill now on his desk that bans abortions after 12 weeks. You can see the room there filling up. The governor's trying to gain support for his planned veto in specific GOP-led districts like this one in Mecklenburg County. He needs just one Republican to break ranks to uphold the veto he plans to issue. Now, he plans to hold other discussions like this in the coming days in New Hanover and Guilford County. The governor has 10 days to make his case before issuing the veto. We will be monitoring this roundtable discussion and let you know what the governor has to say here in the WREL Live Center.
All right, Ken, thank you. The Food and Drug Administration is considering allowing women to get birth control pills in the U.S. without a prescription. Over the next 2 days, the agency will meet with independent advisors to help it decide what to do. Right now, women need a prescription first to get birth control pills, which can make it hard for many women. Most pills contain progestin and estrogen, and the request is for a progestin-only pill that only contains a synthetic version of the hormone progesterone to prevent pregnancy.
It was a rough start to the morning commute for many of you on the Raleigh Beltline. WREL's Brian Schrader is here to explain what happened and who is facing a big fine for all of it this afternoon, Brian.
Jeff, the DOT told me in the past hour that the contractor is going to have to pay a $25,000 fine for this morning's mess. I first noticed the backups on 440 westbound during our 5 a.m. news, so we sent WREL Sky 5 and captured this video. We tracked delays on 440 between Capitol Boulevard and Glenwood Avenue for more than an hour during the morning commute. At one point, we measured an almost 30-minute delay out there. This is where crews have been repaving that rough patch of the Beltline and also adding drainage to prevent flooding in the future. The work requires overnight lane closures, which are supposed to end by 6 a.m. Well, this morning, they lasted well into the 6 o'clock hour, and that's going to cost Fred Smith Company $25,000. Now, you can expect overnight lane closures to continue. This entire project is supposed to be finished in the fall of 2024. Hopefully tomorrow morning, everything will be cleared in time for the morning commute, Jeff.
All right, Brian, thanks for that update. It explains a lot. We now know the name of a Chapel Hill police officer who died in a crash. Officer Mike Minear is being remembered as a dedicated family man and caring colleague. The Highway Patrol says Officer Minear died yesterday afternoon in a crash on U.S. 421 in Chatham County. Troopers say Officer Minear's SUV appeared to strike a log truck from behind, and he died at the scene. Speed appears to be the cause of the crash.
Wake County residents will now have the chance to share their opinions on how the county's money will be spent. Today is the first of four public hearings for the newly proposed budget. It's happening in Morrisville at Wake Tech RTP campus at 6 p.m. Public comment is open until May 19th. After that, commissioners will discuss the public's feedback to consider next steps for the new budget. And city staff will also share an update today on the status of more than $321 million in transportation projects. That funding was approved by Raleigh voters in three referendums between 2011 and 2017. The work aims to improve roads, sidewalks, and other facilities across the city. And food trucks may be given more room to operate in Raleigh. City Council's Planning Commission will consider loosening some restrictions on food trucks during their meeting today. One proposed change would allow them to operate closer to existing restaurants. Another would increase the number of food trucks allowed in the same area at one time.
Now to the latest on the war in Ukraine. Under tight security, Russian President Vladimir Putin delivered a high-profile speech from Red Square. Richard Engel reports the speech came just hours after launching some of the most intense airstrikes in months on Kyiv.
It's the most important and solemn day in Russia. Victory Day over the Nazis in World War II. Russia lost more than 20 million soldiers and civilians in what is known across Russia as the Great Patriotic War. Today in Red Square, President Vladimir Putin says Russia is being pushed into another war by the West in neighboring Ukraine, a country he invaded a year ago without provocation. We do not have a nation we consider our enemy here in the West or the East, but they are provoking conflict and encouraging Russophobia. The speech lasted 10 angry minutes, flanked by his few remaining loyal allies from Belarus and Central Asia. President Putin presented himself as the guardian of Mother Russia and, as he does now frequently, of culture. They destroy traditional family values which make a man, all for the purpose of continuing to dictate and impose their own will, he said. But the celebrations in Moscow were scaled back from previous years, coming just days after an alleged drone attack on the Kremlin that Kyiv denies carrying out. And as Russian troops on the front lines in Ukraine are pulling back to defensive positions and evacuating some civilians ahead of an upcoming Ukrainian offensive. Ukraine's President Zelensky, in a move to further align his country to the West, changed the date Ukraine celebrates the defeat of Nazi Germany to May 8th, like it's marked in Europe and the United States. Like back then, evil has returned to our cities and villages. Although it is another aggressor, the goal is the same, enslavement or destruction, he said. World War II ended 78 years ago, but its shadow looms large today over the biggest conflict in Europe ever since.
It was Richard Engel reporting. And last week, Russia claimed it foiled an attack by Ukrainian drones on the Kremlin that it called an unsuccessful assassination attempt against Putin. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky denied any involvement. Russian authorities presented no evidence to support the claim.
And breaking here in the WRA Live Center, a major shift in guidelines in the fight against breast cancer. An influential panel of health experts now recommend that women at age of 40 should get mammogram screenings. That's a major change from the current guidelines, which recommend screenings should start at 50. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force found starting breast cancer screenings 10 years earlier could save thousands of lives per year. Now, to break it down even more, this influential health panel says women between the ages of 40 and 74 should have screenings for mammograms every 2 years. And it's good to note that about 42,000 people, mostly women, die of breast cancer each year here in the United States.
A big update there. Thank you, Ken. More than 150 new apartments are coming to Raleigh. Just a short time ago, Mayor Mary Ann Baldwin took part in a ceremonial groundbreaking for the summit. The affordable housing community will be located on Sawyer Road. The summit is being developed in part with funds from the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency, as well as a City of Raleigh loan issued through the Raleigh Housing Authority. And the land was donated by the City of Raleigh for $1.
1208, let's get a look at stocks this noon right now as investors are waiting for more inflation data and the debt ceiling progress. You see where the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at this hour. It is down 61 points. NASDAQ is down as well 80 points this noon. The S&P 500 down 15 points. Raleigh's oldest movie theater now has a new owner and is scheduled to reopen this summer. The Rialto opened in 1936 as the Colony Theater, but it closed last summer when the former owner decided to retire. Bill Peebles also cited rough market conditions brought on by COVID-19. The new owner, Hayes Permar, says he grew up seeing movies and live performances there. He and a group of friends will run the theater. The exact date of the reopening has not been announced.
Next at noon, new and disturbing details about the Texas mall shooter who killed 8 people, what a social media page suggests about his motives.
Also, a cosmic surprise outside our solar system, what the Webb telescope is now allowing astronomers to see for the first time.
And at 12:30, the investigation into 7 horses dying at Churchill Downs during Derby Week, what's being done to keep the animals safe?
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Coverage you can count on means unmatched breaking news and weather coverage.
It means being the only station with more than 20 specialists focused on what affects you and your family.
Dealing with potentially deadly hidden danger.
Because coverage you can count on starts with what matters to you.
You feel like this is a military cover.
You could certainly call it that.
WRAL Investigates.
5 on your side.
Sports Investigative.
Data Tracker.
Education. Investigative Insight. Documentary Report.
WRAL News. We are coverage you can count on.
Raleigh Diamond Fine Jewelry announces their annual Giant Jewelry Sale. Save up to 70% on fine jewelry, loose diamonds, and a vast collection of estate and antique jewelry. Shop the Raleigh Diamond Giant Jewelry Sale May 5th through Mother's Day.
I immigrated to America when I was 20 from a country called Uruguay. I have 2 careers. I'm in the Army Reserves, and I have a civilian career as an engineer. And I have 2 wonderful children. Every day is a challenge to make sure that the time that I have, I spend with them. It doesn't matter how tired you are, you have to be there. You have to be present for them. You have to try to teach them. When they learn something new and it just clicks in their brain, I just realized I could do this. And you can just see in their faces. It's such an incredible moment. It's those moments that are my favorite.
Raleigh Diamond Fine Jewelry announces their annual Giant Jewelry Sale. Save up to 70% on fine jewelry, loose diamonds, and a vast collection of estate and antique jewelry. Shop the Raleigh Diamond Giant Jewelry Sale May 5th through Mother's Day.
We are learning disturbing new details about the gunman who killed 8 people at a mall near Dallas. A social media page appearing to belong to the 33-year-old shooter was filled with far-right extremist views. NBC's Maggie Vespa has that and what we've learned about the people who died in that shooting.
This morning, investigators in Texas zeroing in on disturbing social media posts that appear to belong to the nation's latest mass shooter, 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia. The online activity on a Russian social platform includes vile rants against women and minorities, along with a series of shirtless pictures that show visible white power tattoos. Garcia, who also posted online about struggling with his mental health, published this video the day of the attack that shows him wearing a scream mask.
Not quite what you're expecting, huh?
This, as more about the shooter's background comes into view. An Army spokesperson telling NBC News Garcia joined the Army in 2008, but did not complete basic training and was kicked out after 3 months for an unspecified physical or mental condition. Electronic receipts posted on the shooter's social media account appear to show he spent more than $3,200 on firearms. Authorities say Garcia was wearing a tactical vest and was armed with multiple weapons, including an AR-15-style rifle and a handgun. This latest mass shooting fueling new calls for gun control, but Texas Governor Greg Abbott suggesting the problem is not guns.
And
People want a quick solution. The long-term solution here is to address the mental health issue.
While Democratic state legislators in Texas say the problem is obvious.
No, Greg Abbott, it's guns. It's guns.
Does that suspect have an AR rifle?
Law enforcement sources say this surveillance video shows Garcia opening fire on innocent shoppers Saturday. He was killed by a police officer, being hailed as a hero. Overnight, an attorney saying the officer is doing well, adding he's a brave servant with a gentle heart. Meanwhile, an outpouring of grief at a memorial for the 8 innocent lives lost. 3 of the victims, young children from 2 different North Texas families. 3-year-old James Cho killed along with his parents, Cindy and Q, his 6-year-old brother, William, the only member of the family to survive. The Mendoza family losing 11-year-old Daniela and 8-year-old Sophia, their mother, in critical condition. The other victims, 32-year-old Elio Cumana Rivas, 26-year-old Ashwaria Tetacondia, and 23-year-old security guard Christian LaCour.
As Maggie Vespa reporting, a Louisiana man, meantime, faces half a dozen charges after police say he shot at a group of kids who were playing hide-and-seek. A 14-year-old girl who was hit in the back of her head is recovering. Detectives say several kids were playing in the area and were hiding on the man's property. Police say David Doyle told them he saw shadows outside his home. Doyle says he got his weapon and began shooting when he saw people running away from his home.
The clock is ticking. Can a deal be reached on the debt ceiling before it's too late? President Biden set to meet with congressional leaders to reach some sort of deal. Alexandria Hoff previews the high stakes showdown.
President Biden hosts a high stakes meeting today with congressional leaders at the White House, trying to strike a deal to raise the Treasury's debt ceiling as the nation inches closer to its credit limit.
The Republicans are now in charge of the House. The Democrats are going to have to negotiate with Speaker McCarthy to reach a responsible outcome here.
Both sides refusing to budge. House Republicans passed a bill to raise the debt ceiling, but it also reins in government spending. President Biden says he is willing to reduce the deficit through tax hikes on wealthier Americans and corporations.
There is no plan B. Our plan is for Congress to act to address the debt limit without conditions, just like they've done 78 times.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying that there could be a default as early as June 1st, leaving the Treasury without enough money to pay the country's bills.
We should not get to the point where we need to consider whether the president can go on issuing debt. This would be a constitutional crisis.
Republicans arguing that the White House has created an economic crisis. 43 GOP senators signing a letter to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer last week, writing, quote, "Our economy is in free fall due to unsustainable fiscal policies. This trajectory must be addressed with fiscal reforms." The House has taken a responsible first step in coming to the table with their proposals. It is imperative that the president now do the same.
That was Alexandria Hoff reporting. Now, the U.S. has never defaulted on its debt. Both the White House and Speaker McCarthy say they have no plans to let a default occur.
Astronomers say they've spotted a new cosmic surprise outside of our solar system. The James Webb Telescope recently gave them an up-close look at the first asteroid belt ever seen outside of our solar system. Astronomers focused on a young, bright star located 25 light years from Earth and the warm dust that encircles it. Researchers believe the dust was shaped into belts by hidden planets that orbit the star. They say studying these dust belts can help unlock secrets behind low planetary systems and how they form.
Wow.
So amazing. That Webb telescope, since it went up, has provided the most picturesque cosmic images ever.
I mean, it's incredible, truly incredible. It's amazing. Back here on Earth, focusing on the weather, we are under a WREL weather alert day. A lot of us seeing a level 1 and 2 risk for some severe storms later on this evening. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here to time everything out for us, Elizabeth.
We have an update that just came in about 5 minutes after 12, where the Storm Prediction Center pulled that level 2 risk back just slightly. So it was covering Wake County, and now it's not covering Wake County. I mean, that's a tiny, subtle difference. It doesn't really make that much difference in what may happen where you are. But just interesting to note, they pulled that back just a little bit. And so we still have the level one and level two risk again for the bulk of the viewing area. Damaging winds still our biggest threat. So here's a look at why we probably won't see a lot of widespread storms today. There are four ingredients that we need for severe storms: moisture, lift in the atmosphere, shear or spin in the atmosphere, and energy to make it all happen. If we don't have moisture, we don't have a storm, so we can't have severe weather without a storm. So we're lacking moisture for this, and so that means that what we see will likely be isolated. We're not looking at a band of thunderstorms with a lot of heavy rain covering the entire viewing area. Instead, these will be pop-up cells that happen, and a few of these, because we do have some of the ingredients in place, could be strong enough to produce some wind damage, maybe knock down a tree or two, but it's not going to be widespread. Here's a look at Futurecast. You can see the clouds thickening up a bit at 2 o'clock, but things are pretty quiet there at 2. By 3 or 4 o'clock, we begin to see a few isolated storms popping up. Most likely, none of those will be severe, but at some point during the afternoon, one or two of those could reach severe criteria. Severe criteria would be 58 mile per hour wind gusts or stronger, and that can be strong enough to knock down a tree. By 8 or 9 o'clock, it's all finished. So again, pop-up thunderstorms. This is a great time to download your WRAL weather app if you haven't done it. Go and click on alerts and set alerts to let you know when there's a severe thunderstorm warning or a tornado warning. Then turn on the TV if a warning comes out, because we'll let you know exactly where that storm is, where it's headed, if you're in its path, and what to do if you are. Right now, we're looking at some increasing clouds from the west. We're taking a look west at Durham. There's plenty of sunshine out there right now. The clouds will be thickening up this afternoon. We're at 84 in the triangle. We'll likely climb into the upper 80s for highs this afternoon, and it'll feel like around 90 or low 90s with the heat index. 82 is Southern Pines, 83 in Goldsboro, 79 in South Hill, and 77 up around Roxboro. Expecting high of 88 in Raleigh, 87 in Durham, and 92 in Fayetteville this afternoon. So definitely feeling like summer. 78 is our normal high, so all these 80s are above normal. We drop it back a little bit Wednesday and Thursday, and then bounce back up for the weekend. Check the muggy meter. Big changes coming tomorrow. Once our front comes through that could bring us the thunderstorms, it'll deliver some drier air, so it won't feel as sticky Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We get into next weekend and it starts to feel sticky again. Our trees, this just came in. I need to update it. Trees are down to moderate along with grasses. So we've seen that drop just a little bit in the last 24 hours. And taking a sneak peek at Mother's Day, it looks like it'll stay dry for most of the day, but late in the day, there could be a few thunderstorms. Going to be a warm day at 87. We also have a chance of some isolated storms on Monday.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Ken Smith mentioned earlier in the newscast, when you go for an annual mammogram, it's moving up 10 years. Coming up tonight at 6, we hear from doctors about a new health recommendation saying women should start getting mammograms at 40, plus the new data that prompted the change.
Mother's Day and Memorial Day sales. Coming up, 5 on Your Side will share the best deals for May.
Also still ahead this noon, lots of teens share their location using their devices so they can catch up with friends. Why some mental health experts say the feature also has a major drawback.
Plus, just because the label reads natural doesn't mean the product is all natural. A warning from dermatologists about your favorite skincare treatments.
Burger King has a new Spider-Man themed Whopper, and the White House wants new rules for airlines to pay up when flights are canceled or delayed. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
President Biden wants airlines to compensate passengers for some canceled and delayed flights. The administration plans to propose new rules requiring carriers to give customers vouchers, miles, or even cash for travel disruptions. The regulations would cover flights canceled or delayed due to something in the airline's control, such as a mechanical problem. Issues such as bad weather or air traffic control problems are generally considered to be outside of an airline's control. The rules are expected to be proposed later this year, but it can take months or even years before new regulations are implemented. Disney is dropping some pandemic ticketing policies at its Orlando theme parks starting next January. If you buy a dated ticket to Disney World, you'll no longer need to make a reservation to visit the Magic Kingdom or the three other parks. The system was put in place to control crowds, but it proved unpopular. Some customers weren't able to book reservations on the days they wanted to visit. Now, Disney's also bringing back its dining plans that lets guests at its resorts pay for meals and snacks before entering the theme parks. Burger King is rolling out a Red Whopper, tied to the release of the new Spider-Man movie. The Spider-Verse Whopper features a red bun with black sesame seeds. It will be available at Burger King's between May 15th and June 21st. The new movie called Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse opens June 2nd. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Ebert at the NASDAQ Market Site.
If you can get past the look of it, I guess. Location sharing on electronic devices allows people to see if they have friends nearby, but they can also cause mixed feelings among teenagers. In a recent study, nearly half the teenage girls surveyed said location sharing has a negative impact on them. Along with the anxiety of missing out on something, some said the feature creates fears of being stalked.
Coming up, for the first time in history, women could be allowed to purchase birth control pills at the pharmacy without a prescription. Plus, a recent string of deaths during Derby Week reignites criticism of the sport, the latest steps being taken to determine the cause of the suspicious deaths. And as we head to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Women may soon be able to get birth control pills over the counter. The FDA is meeting today to discuss next steps on what would become a historic move for millions of women in the U.S. WRAL's Laura Levine explains why this expanded access would be groundbreaking.
A two-day public meeting begins today to evaluate the pill called O-Pill. If approved, this would be the first contraceptive pill nationwide that would be moving from behind the pharmacy counter and onto shelves or online. Now, making the switch has raised some concerns from the FDA. Top concerns include whether women can understand the labeling instructions and take the medication correctly. FDA scientists have also doubted whether the maker of the pill has provided sufficient data on the drug. The pill has been around for 50 years, but only with a prescription. At the end of the meeting this week, the FDA panel will vote on whether or not the benefits outweigh the potential risks. And then the FDA will make a final decision this summer. Laura Levine, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we want to take you back to these live look of the Governor Cooper having a roundtable discussion about the abortion bill, which bans abortions after 12 weeks. The governor's speaking right now. This roundtable discussion got on the way at the top of the hour. I want to give you this this idea of how the governor is trying to make his case to gain support for a planned veto of the bill. Take a listen to what he has to say.
This has been disguised as something that is reasonable when it is not. And if something's a reasonable compromise, you certainly shouldn't be afraid to have it discussed and questions asked and amendments put forward if you believe it's a reasonable compromise.
Well, GOP leaders insist this is a compromise piece of legislation, but did not allow for any debate during the passage of this abortion bill. Now, again, you're looking live at a roundtable discussion being led by the governor. Our crew there on the scene is trying to get sound bites with everybody. So if you see the camera move, that's what's happening. Well, the governor plans to hold similar roundtable discussions in New Hanover and Guilford counties. He has about 10 days to make his case before he's issuing his veto.
Ken, thanks for that. Today, we want to take a moment to help raise awareness about a drug that's the leading cause of death in Americans under the age of 50. It's fentanyl. It kills more people in this age group than heart disease, cancer, homicide, and suicide. According to government data, more than 70,000 Americans are dying each year from fentanyl overdose. New numbers paint a dismal picture of how this drug is overtaking our youth as well. The number of children and teenagers who died from an overdose has increased 30 times from 2013 to 2021. The vast majority are teenagers, 15 to 19. Experts say those deaths are happening with recreational drug use. And more than half of the 5,000 deaths over the last 20 years happened in the first 2 years of the pandemic. You can learn how fentanyl overdoses affect our local community in WRAL's latest documentary, Crisis Next Door. You can watch it anytime on WRAL.com or on the WRAL documentary YouTube page.
Migrants are now massing at the southern border, waiting for Title 42 to expire Thursday morning. Right now, an estimated 150,000 migrants are along the U.S.-Mexico border, with more on the way. Bill Malugan reports on the actions DHS plans to take.
The crisis at the southern border is intensifying, with Title 42's expiration now just 2 days away. We're seeing a major surge of illegal entries here in Brownsville and at other busy crossings like El Paso, including gotaways, blending in with migrants who have already been processed. Local officials and aid groups along the border say they're bracing for even bigger numbers later this week.
This week we're seeing numbers increase, and now we kind of know to expect a big surge, but even then we don't know what that's going to look like.
Yesterday, Homeland Security announced it will raid migrant camps in El Paso and take undocumented immigrants into custody, prompting sharp criticism from the Border Patrol Union, which blasted the administration for announcing the operation ahead of time, calling it a, quote, sad PR stunt. Republicans in Congress claim it's another sign the White House isn't serious about border security.
They have welcomed more than 6 million illegal aliens into our sovereign nation. And you have Secretary Mayorkas down on the border lying that it's secure, that it's not open.
The Biden administration says it has a plan to deal with the expected surge after Title 42 expires, but any long-term immigration reform needs to come from lawmakers, not the White House.
We're implementing that plan with our regional partners, using the few tools we have remaining because, again, Congress has failed to act.
That was Bill Malugan reporting. Customs will be reducing processing lanes and passenger operations at the Paso del Norte point of entry on Thursday, and travelers are being urged to use an alternate port of entry between the U.S. and Mexico.
There's an increased push to quickly update regulations to fight oil and gas emissions. Scientists say air pollution from the oil and gas production in the U.S. has negatively affected public health. The scientists say oil and gas production is tied to more than 7,500 deaths and 2,200 new cases of asthma in children. There's no shortage of skincare products out there containing the name natural, but researchers say they often contain allergens like fragrances. Analysts recommend people who have very sensitive skin avoid those and use products labeled fragrance-free or hypoallergenic instead of natural. If you use a product that causes you to break out in a rash, stop using it immediately. It's important to note the FDA does not approve skincare products, so be sure to look at the ingredients first.
The Carolina Hurricanes hit the ice tonight looking for a bounce back win in game four of their series with the New Jersey Devils. The Canes dropped game three on Sunday, losing 8-4. Coach Rod Brind'Amour said what's done is done and the team has to find a way to win. Carolina still holds a 2-1 lead in the best of seven series. Game four is in New Jersey. Puck drops at 7 o'clock tonight. And WRL's Casey Hintz is in Newark with the Canes. She'll have live reports from the Prudential Center before and after tonight's game.
Coming up this noon, tragedy at the track. 7 horses died during Kentucky Derby week. How medical officials are making sure no more animal lives are lost.
Plus, from the track to the sea, giant loggerhead sea turtles could be at risk in Georgia. We'll tell you why next. Welcome back on your Tuesday afternoon. You're looking live at the DBAP in Durham. You're watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Churchill Downs is partnering with 2 organizations to investigate how 7 horses died during Kentucky Derby week. David Mattingly takes a look at what's being done to make sure the animals are being properly trained and kept healthy.
Was the sport's biggest day on its biggest stage. But 7 dead thoroughbreds at Churchill Downs hijacked the spotlight, focusing its glare on horse racing's biggest problem.
Come together as an industry, all hands on deck, everyone has a role to play, and we need everyone to be engaged, to be working towards this mission.
After being created by Congress, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority is mired in lawsuits filed by groups resisting national oversight. Rules and penalties at one track still do not apply at others. And in the wake of the Churchill Downs fatalities, criticism of the fractured sport is amplified.
And the American public is getting sick and tired
of seeing this body count on America's tracks. America's tracks are turning into crash sites, and that is not acceptable.
Numbers compiled by the Jockey Club show the rate of fatal injuries dropped in 2022 for the fourth straight year to 1.25 deaths per 1,000 starts. That's the lowest rate since the Jockey Club started counting in 2009. Not good enough for people demanding national rules and consequences for owners and trainers who break them.
There has to be more at risk for the people putting horses in competition than say, oh, I'm so sad. It's a terrible disappointment for me that I don't get to run my horse in a race. Well, it's a worse disappointment for the horse who's dead.
Lacking uniform standards and national enforcement, the spike in deaths of thoroughbreds at Churchill Downs, to some critics, raises the biggest of red flags. If this could happen at Churchill Downs, it could easily happen elsewhere.
I think it's hopeless for those tracks that are smaller, where there's nobody paying attention. We have people discussing protocols for Churchill Downs, but at some racetracks in the United States, they don't even require a veterinarian to be on the track when the horses are racing.
28 horses died at Churchill Downs last year in full. It was David Mattingly reporting there. The University of Kentucky, meantime, will be handling the autopsies on those racehorses.
Coming up, a new robot could make life easier and farmers and prevent some of our favorite food products from going bad. We'll show you how the device works after the break. Plus, wind farms can produce electricity for millions of customers. So why are some lawmakers calling for a moratorium on offshore wind farm development? Love that answer next. A new robot could help farmers keep their crops from going bad. Jackie Ibanez takes a closer look at how it works and why it could also keep farm workers safe.
From oats to rice, wheat, quinoa, and more, Americans seem to have a love affair with grains. But while they're tasty, the process of getting these products ready for our tables can pose financial and safety risks for farmers. But a new robot called Crover hopes to be a game changer. After being farmed, grains are usually stored until they're ready to be used. But while grain sits in silos, it can be prone to damage from heat, moisture, and bugs.
Temperature rises, bugs start to develop, start to breed, generate heat. The mycotoxins, mold, and then the grain's written off probably, and it kind of enter the human food chain.
To combat this, Crover is designed to surf on top of massive piles of grain, monitoring for any spikes in moisture and heat. A smaller version uses a special rotating motion to travel deep below. The devices can generate computer images, showing the conditions in each grain pile so farmers can prevent damage to their crops. The technology will hopefully prevent death and injuries that can happen using the current approach to checking grains.
The main way of monitoring grain bulls at the moment is still sending a person to physically walk on top of these grain bulls, which is very dangerous to do because grain entrapment and grain engulfment can be fatal.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. Using data harvested by Crover, farmers can make more accurate decisions when it comes to ventilating their storage units and also managing pests.
Construction of newly approved offshore wind farms is being blamed for a rash of whale deaths along the East Coast. Since early December, dozens of dead whales have washed up on shore between Massachusetts all the way to Florida. The timing aligns with construction of several wind farm projects along the East Coast. Some Republican lawmakers are calling for a temporary halt to offshore wind projects while further research is conducted to see if there is any correlation. Various groups presented alternative theories like the impact of warming waters to shifting food sources. It has been a topic of discussion off our coast as well. Meanwhile, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will examine whether dredging a shipping channel in Georgia would threaten rare sea turtles on nearby beaches. Giant loggerhead sea turtles are federally protected as a threatened species. The Army Corps of Engineers is responsible for keeping shipping channels clear of accumulated sediments to ensure safe passage for ships.
Yeah, and also to watch for the little baby turtles.
Well, the giant loggerheads have to start out
right
like
yeah.
that.
They do. Very cute.
Make sure they make it. Yeah, exactly. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center right now with a look around town.
Yeah, well, it looks nice out there right now. We're seeing partly cloudy skies in Goldsboro. This is a live look at our camera network. Apex also seeing partly cloudy skies. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And of course, that's a look at our Fayetteville newsroom there. A little sunshine peeking through the clouds. So it's everything's nice and quiet right now, but we do still have the potential for some strong thunderstorms this afternoon. Of course, just about 30 minutes or so ago, maybe a little more than that, the Storm Prediction Center pulled that area of level 2 risk back just a little bit. It's not going to mean a big difference for us really across our viewing area. We still have the potential to see maybe a couple of strong storms that could produce some wind damage for severe threat. But we're not looking at a lot of storms. This is not going to be widespread. We're not talking about a big line of thunderstorms that comes through and affects everybody. These will be isolated pop-up storms. Here's a look at what's happening right now. You can see our cold front starting to sink southward. We're really not seeing anything popping up along that just yet. But as we get through the next couple of hours, it is likely to see at least a few isolated storms, damaging wind gusts, and maybe even some large hail possible. Our limiting factor is the amount of moisture that we have available for this front to work with. So that means that we won't have as many storms as we would have if we had more moisture available. Here's a look at Futurecast, and you can see at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a couple of showers back to our west. By 2 and 3 o'clock, we're seeing, again, a handful here or there. One or two of those could reach severe criteria, which is 58 mile per hour winds or stronger. And at that point, we could see a tree or two down. Again, I don't think this is going to be anything widespread, starting at around 3 o'clock and lasting until around, say, 8 or 9 o'clock. And then after that, we're finished with it. And behind this front, it's actually going to be really nice for tomorrow. We're going to see a nice drop in humidity and in our temperature. So feeling refreshing tomorrow. Again, we could see an isolated severe storm. Damaging wind would be the biggest threat. Tornadoes are not likely in this setup. There could be a few reports of hail, but flooding is also not likely. We're really not going to see very much rain with this. You can see if there is a storm that develops, like the model is showing, the potential for a storm there, possibly in Rocky Mount with half an inch of rain. Most of us are going to see a very little rain out of this, but if one of those storms pops up over you, you could see a quarter of an inch to a half an inch. But like I mentioned, that shouldn't be widespread. Checking the 7-day forecast. Once we get past today's warm 88 degrees with a little bit of humidity, we really drop things down, especially for tomorrow and Thursday, looking really pretty. Mid-70s to around 80 degrees, drop in humidity. It's going to be cooler, too. We've had the last several mornings. Our morning lows have been in the 60s. Looking at mid-50s tomorrow morning, as well as Thursday morning, 53 degrees. So that'll feel refreshing. And then we see our temperatures warming up for the weekend. Right now, Saturday looks on the dry side. Sunday looks dry until maybe late afternoon and evening. We could see a late-day storm for Mother's Day.
Keep our fingers crossed for another dry weekend. Thanks, Elizabeth. New police canine may be little, but she's serving a big purpose. We explain Daisy's role on the force. And here are your winning lottery numbers right here. The Powerball numbers on your screen. Wrap things up this noon with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. New recommendations say women should be screened for breast cancer starting at age 40. Experts say the change is the result of new scientific evidence. Previous guidance suggested women start getting screened when they turn 50. The recommendations come from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force.
Right now, Governor Roy Cooper is trying to convince Republicans not to override his planned veto on a bill changing when women can get abortions. Today, he's holding a roundtable discussion in Mecklenburg County about the impact the legislation would have on women in the state. Cooper is pressuring four moderate Republicans in particular with the hopes of convincing one to vote against an override.
Great news on Glenwood Avenue. Raleigh's oldest movie theater now has a new owner and is scheduled to reopen this summer. The Rialto opened in 1936 as the Colony Theater, but closed last summer when the former owner decided to retire. The new owner is Hayes Permar, says grew up seeing movies there and live performances as well. He and a group of friends will run the theater.
Raleigh Little Theater's newest production teaches kids about racism and friendship. My Wonderful Birthday Suit runs at the Gaddy Goodwin Teaching Theater through May 21st. It features a cast of colorful, silly characters and a lovable bird named Bobo.
One of the reasons that we chose My Wonderful Birthday Suit for this season is because we felt like kids really needed joy. They really deserve joy in this time.
And you can meet the actors by looking for this story on WREL.com.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Wake County Animal Center. Sherry is a 5-year-old retriever hound mix. Easy to collar and walks well on a leash. When you stop, she turns and sits. Very treat motivated and takes them gently. Sherry has been to play groups and has done well. To meet Sherry, contact Wake County Animal Center at the number on your screen.
And speaking of puppies, a Wisconsin police department is getting a new pup, but this canine is not a crime fighter. Her job is to spread joy and help those who grieve heal. At just 12 weeks old, Daisy, the Australian Labrador, is at the department, community's therapy dog. Her presence is supposed to bring joy and calmness to all she meets. The department says Daisy is helping break up the monotony in some of their routine duties. Oh my goodness, so cute.
They're always good listeners.
Yeah.
As we've been talking about this noon, women should get mammograms a lot sooner than previously recommended. That's according to a panel of experts after they reviewed some startling new data. Now, today at 4, the new age women should be going to get checked for breast cancer.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
All right, you can get out and enjoy some of this great day and get breaking news updates anytime, as you know, with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.